Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody shout hallelujah to the King tonight. Church, are you ready to take back all that the enemy has stolen? Reclaim the systems of this world, for the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord. How can we walk around and tell them, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back? Tonight, Father, we reclaim the mountains. We go forth in the power and authority. Come on, SG, lift it down. Say, can't you hear?
God bless you. This is Apostle Flowers. Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders International. You're listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In broadcast, where I'm your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. Amen. Coming all the way from the Windy City, Chi-Town, Chicago, as we like to say. I want to encourage you on tonight to be in high expectation in the Lord. Be expecting, be looking for a supernatural move of God on tonight. Be looking for God to turn around your circumstances and your situation. Be looking for God to release, amen, what he has promised, to release the blessings into your life, to answer your prayer requests, amen, because I'm here to agree with you on tonight. So I want to encourage you to lift up your bow down heads and begin to give God the glory and the praise, regardless of what you may be facing, regardless of what you may be going through. This is a spiritual battle. Yes, this is spiritual warfare that we are in, and the Lord wants you to put on your whole armor, the whole armor of God, because the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty through him to the pulling down of strongholds. And God wants you to utilize the weapons of warfare that he has given you. He wants you to become skillful in those weapons that he has given unto you. He didn't leave us comfortless. He didn't leave us without power or authority when he took the authority back from the enemy, which was given up by Adam. Adam just gave it on, handed right over unto him, just said, here, here's the keys, here, go ahead and take it. And Jesus came and took that authority back. And when Jesus took the authority back, Jesus could have kept the authority to himself and just went on high like he did, went back on, ascended up to heaven, and just left us here with the Holy Ghost, and that's just it. But no, he said, you know what? I'm going to trust you with my authority again. I'm going to put authority back into the hands of men. But this time, when I release this authority into the hands of men, I'm releasing tools. I'm releasing weapons of war into the hands of my people, weapons of war into the hands of those that are walking in the kingdom. I'm not talking about church folks. I'm not talking about one to go to church and sit on the pews and just warm up the pews and just think about me, myself, and I bless my family, my four, and no more. But I'm talking about people that are kingdom-minded, people that are about the kingdom, saying, Lord, who can I be a blessing to? Lord, who can I encourage on today, Lord, regardless of what I may be going through, regardless of how the enemy may be trying to oppress me. But Lord, let me use me to speak the words of life into somebody's life. Lord, use me to encourage somebody on today. I'm talking about those that are the king, don't have a selfish mindset or just thinking about them self, but they do as the word. Those that are the kingdom, what they do is they think on the things of others. Kingdom-minded people not thinking on the things of themselves, but they're thinking on the things of others. And that's what's going on here at Kingdom Builders International, which you're hearing here on this global internet radio station. Is to bless you with our prophetess, Teresa, the founder, and I like to say a buddy in arms, evangelist Hannah, amen, and those that are working behind the scenes to help and to be a blessing, to get things flowing and going and everything. So that's why Kingdom Builders International need not only your prayers, but need your financial support as well to be able to continue to sow, amen, into the work of what the Lord is doing. Paul said, if I give you spiritual, then I shall reap your carnal. I know it's been just over, put it like this, just blown up out of proportion and so on concerning prosperity, concerning giving and finance. People, you know, you have those that's in the gospel that had like over, as you say, overdid it, and it's all about money. But let me tell you, amen, you know those, you know the tree by the fruit it bears. Amen. And this, in Kingdom Builders International, bear forth much fruit, good fruit. Put it like that, good fruit. Amen. They have quality people coming on, amen, men of God and women of God, on this broadcast, sowing into your life, spiritual, being a blessing to you. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, people of God, just be a blessing and sow. Amen. It's a Kingdom Builders International. But I want to encourage you on tonight. Amen. I just thank God for those of you that are listening by way of cell phone or your internet listeners. Thank God for you, wherever my voice may be heard. Amen. I speak shalom. I speak peace unto you on tonight. Amen. Be encouraged in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Rise up in that which God has placed upon your life, because God has called you, God has chosen you for such a time as this. You were born for such a time as this. Even in the last days, yes, we are in the last days. Know that you have a work to do. You're here with a purpose. God did not have you here just to fulfill the American dream. Get the big white house with the white picket fence, the two-car garage, the 2.3 kids and stuff like that, and the dog. You know, it's much more than that. And get the 401k plan, and which that failed through anyway when the economy failed, when the recession hit. Then a lot of people lost their 401ks and stuff. So it's better to invest into the kingdom, people of God. It's better to, and that's the best way to invest in the kingdom. Invest yourself, your time, and your resources. You cannot go wrong. Amen. The word of God said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. When he calls men to give unto your bosom, what measure you mete out shall be measured back unto you again. So you can never go wrong investing into the kingdom of God, especially sowing on good ground, good soil on tonight. Amen. So that's not the message on tonight that the Lord has given me. I just felt led to share that on tonight. But again, we serve a supernatural God. And again, people of God, I just want you to be in high expectation. The enemy don't care nothing about you. He don't care nothing about your seed, your children, your loved ones, none of you. If he had it his way, he will wipe you out. He'll take you off the face of the earth. He will end you real quickly. But because of God, God has a plan for your life. That's why the enemy could not. If the enemy, he would have took you out a long time ago. Many of you are not even supposed to be here this day. Though many of you that are listening on the sound of my voice right now are not supposed to be here this day. But God, amen, because of the mercy of God, because of the hand of God being upon your life, amen, because of God, you've been God's chosen one, because God said, I have a work for you to do. That's why you're still here this day. Amen. Before I go any further, let's I'm just going to go into prayer right now. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we can do nothing without you. We are helpless without you, God. We need you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now that you begin to supernaturally move, God, on the airways. God, begin to supernaturally move into homes, Lord, workplaces, Lord, wherever my voice is heard, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, on the other side of the globe, God. Father, there's no limitations in you. You are spirit, God. Nothing can block you out. Nothing can keep you out. You walk right through the doors. Hallelujah. When the disciples got discouraged when you were crucified, but you have risen and you walk right through the doors. You didn't even have to open up the door. So that's how what shows us right there that you are a supernatural God and you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Lord, we look to you who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you and we believe you, God, because you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, you that begun a work shall see that thing completed. And we thank you, Lord, that you know our end from the beginning. And we know, Lord, that you're going to perfect those things that concern us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I declare and I decree, even on tonight, God, let there be an open heavens, God, over, Father God, this line, God, over the lines, God, in the name of Jesus, over the global internet, God, in the name of Jesus, radio, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, let the angels be descending and ascending in our midst, God. Let the angels be dispatched right now, your warring angels, God, your angels of miracles, your angels of healing, your angels, God, of finances, God, your angels of prosperity, God, be released right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, somebody is hard-pressed in a hard place right now, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, we know that you are a deliverer, God. We thank you for your strong arms of deliverance right now, moving right now, your strong hand of delivering, moving and delivering that person out of their situation right now, God. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing impossible for you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise on tonight, God. Father, I pray that your anointing be released right now that breaks and destroys every yoke, God. In the name of you, I command you to be loose from your chains of bondage, to be loose from every shackle, to be loose from every weight, from every burden. I command it to fall off of you right now. In the name of Jesus, I command false burdens to fall off of you right now. In the name of Jesus, some of you have been carrying burdens, false burdens that you should not be carrying. God is causing that thing to fall off of you right now. Oh, Rabba, Sikatabo Shita. Brina Labo Surimani Katabosa. Oh, Ramande Katabosa. Some of you have been worried. You've been worrying about your children. You've been worried about your children. God has given you peace. Right now, God said, release it into his hand. God said, I already worked it out. I've already worked it out. Release it in my hand. My hand is upon your daughter's life. My hand is upon your son's life. Trust me, says God. Trust me, says God. Release them into my hand. God said, I cannot move. You're tying up my hands because you're holding on to it. You're worrying and you're holding on to it. Once you let it go, once you let them go, let them go, let them go, then I can move for you, says God. I can move for you, says God. Father, I thank you that you're healing sick bodies on tonight. If you're touching right now, God, in the name of Jesus, I commit every spirit of infirmity to go right now. I rebuke you right now. In the name of Jesus, I curse every sickness and disease that is operating in the people of God's body right now, because sickness is not of you. Diseases is not of you. Lord, I send your word unto your people right now that is battling physically in their bodies right now. In the name of Jesus, where the enemy is trying to take them out prematurely, I cancel the assignment of the enemy over their lives this day. In the name of Jesus, I come against high blood pressure and low blood pressure and sugar diabetes type 1 and type 2 and thyroid glands and the swelling of the glands and in the intestines. In the name of inflammation in the intestines, I speak healing right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I come against prostate cancer. I command it to loose your body, to leave your body right now, in the name of Jesus. I command your body to get in line, to line up with the word of God right now, in the name of Jesus. I speak to that person that's having issues in their blood right now. I command you to be healed right now. Your blood is being purified right now, in the name of Jesus. Those that are having vision problems, put your hand on your eyes right now, in the name of Jesus. Be healed. I command that the blurriness to go. I command the blindness to go, in the name of Jesus. I command your sight to return, in the name of Jesus. Those that have been having hearing problems, I command hearing, hallelujah, hearing to take place. I command the spirit to loose your hearing right now, deafness to loose your hearing, in the name of Jesus. You've been having problems in your hearing. It's been getting kind of dull in your hearing. You've been having a hard time hearing. God is healing you right now, in the name of Jesus. I thank you restoring eardrums right now, God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. God is restoring eardrums right now. Eardrums are being restored right now. Oh, Ramande Ketabo Sur Ramande Ketabo Sa. Oh, Ramande Ketabo Sha. Ha, ha. There's a woman of God. You've been in intercession. You've been praying. You've been praying for a loved one. You've been praying for a loved one. They have brain cancer. You've been praying. God has heard your prayer. God is healing them right now. You're going to have a testimony. They're going to have a testimony. They're going to have a testimony. It's because your prayers. It's because you standing in the gap for them. You've been interceding for them. God has heard your prayer, and God has given them a miracle right now. You're going to have a praise report. You're going to have a testimony. God is healing heart conditions right now. Oh, heart murmurs. Oh, Ramandi Ketebosa, irregular heartbeats. I command them to be normal, normal heartbeats right now. In the name of Jesus. Lema su Ramandi Ketasha, Rema Katabosa, Rene Ketebosa, Ramanda. Oh, Ramanda, incurable diseases. I command you to be healed of it right now. In the name of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Receive, receive right now. Receive, receive. Those of you who need a miracle in your body right now, receive. Receive right now by the angels. Hallelujah, the angels of healing. Oh, Ramanda Katabasa is being released right now. The angels of healing are moving right now, so receive right now. Hallelujah, receive your miracle. Raise your hands up and receive right now. Wherever you may be hurting in your body right now, begin to lay hands on that part of your body right now. God is healing you right now. God is giving you a miracle right now. I rebuke that pain right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I command that spine to straighten up right now. You got scoliosis. There's one on the line. There's a man. Hallelujah, you're on the line on tonight. You've been having problems with your back. Scoliosis, I rebuke it right now. I command that spine to straighten up right now. In the name of Jesus, I command lower back pain to go right now. In the name of Jesus, crooked spine to straighten up right now. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of arthritis. In the name of Jesus, oh, remande ketabos, arthritis in the knees. In the joints, I command you to go right now. In the name of Jesus, fibromyalgia, I command you to, I curse it right now from the root. I command you to loose the woman of God, loose the man of God right now. In the name of Jesus, you cannot stay. We command you to go right now. I command you to go right now. In the name of Jesus, receive it right now. Receive it right now. No more pain. No more pain in your body. I command the inflammation to go. I command the sensitivity to go. To pain to go in the name of Jesus. The aches and pain all over your body to go in the name of Jesus. I command your nerves to be normal, to be restored in the name of Jesus. Ela masur ramandi kata, remande lobo sur ramandi kata, la masur ramandi kata. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The healer, the healer, the healer, the healer, the healer is walking in the midst of thee. The healer is walking in the midst of thee. Oh, Ramanda Labasu Ramandika Libashata. Oh, Ramandika Dabosu Ramandika Debosa. Oh, Ramanda Katabashite Ketibosa. Oh, I command tumors to go right now. I command gorters to fall off right now. In the name of Jesus. He Katabashita. Oh, Ramandika Dabosu Ramandika Dabasa. Oh, Ramande Katabosa. Oh, Father, I pray those that have been having problems, even in their mouth, with their teeth, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you feel teeth, God, on tonight, in the name of Jesus, Lord, tooth filling take place, in the name of Jesus. Ha, lama su, remande, God. Ah, rana, lama su, remande, katabosa. Ilama su, remande, katabosa. Oh, Raman, I command that irregular bleeding to stop right now, in the name of Jesus. Ilama su, remande, katabosa. Oh, Ramana Lamasa. Oh, there's a woman on the line now. You've been having problems in your organs, female problems in your organ. God is healing you right now. God is touching that area right now. God, receive your miracle right now. God is healing you right now. Give him the glory and the praise for what God has done for you. God has done it for you. When you go back to the doctor, the doctor's not going to find anything there. A complete bill of health. Oh, Ramande Katabosu Ramanda Kata. Brande katabosu ramande katiosha. Oh, ramande katabosu ramande katabosa. Receive your miracle on tonight. Receive it, receive it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I cannot distress that enough. God is still performing miracles today. God is still healing today. God is still delivering today. God is still prophesying his word through the prophets in the land today, through his prophetic people today. They did not die out. Hallelujah. They did not die out. The apostles and prophets did not die out. They're still here today. God is yet still raising up apostles and prophets. God is yet still raising up apostolic and prophetic people, his sent ones, those that are sent by him, those that are of the kingdom. God is still moving in signs and wonders today. All you have to do is believe. The word of God said these signs shall follow them that believe. You have to be a believer. God is still performing miracles. It's not just for those that are the fivefold ministry gifts, but it's for those that believe, that's in the kingdom, those that confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Hallelujah. So God is yet still moving. God is yet still alive and waiting today and still reigning in the heavens and in the earth. If I did not call out your condition on tonight, just receive your miracle. Just say, God, I receive my healing on tonight. God, I receive my healing on tonight. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, God. I rebuke the spirit of witchcraft. In the name of Jesus, every form of witchcraft, black magic, white magic, hoodoo, voodoo, hexes, chants, spells, incantation, candle burning, incense burning, in the name of Jesus, Santeria, so I rebuke it right now, in the name of Jesus, word curses being released against the people of God, against the men of God, against the women of God. Oh, Rama, take authority over it right now, words that have been released in the atmosphere against the men and the women of God, the sons and the daughters of God. I command those words to be powerless, void, none affected, to fall to the ground and die and not take root in the name of Jesus. The word that may have taken root in the lives of the people of God, I curse it from the root right now, and I command it to die. Words that are not of you, God, in the to die. In the name, words that have been spoken to be a hindrance to the people of God, in the name of Jesus, to wither up and to die right now, in the name of Jesus. I lose confusion right now upon the camp of the enemy. Every demonic force that has been assigned to the people of God, I lose confusion upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Call these demons, Lord, to battle, to fight one another. Call them to forget their assignment, what they were sent out to do. Let them begin to fight in warfare against one another in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, God. We humble ourselves on tonight, God. We humble ourselves. You said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then we will hear from heaven. You will forgive our sins and that you will heal our land. Lord, you said it so in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God. We put you in remembrance of your word, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We need a healing in the land, God. Revival first start with us, with the church, God. I know a lot of times we look for revival, we're saying revival, oh, revival in our community, revival in our neighborhood, revival. But revival is talking about the church when it comes to revival, Lord. You said, David said, oh, Lord, that thou would revive me again, revive us again. Lord, we ask that you revive us again, revive the people of God again, revive us again, because revival starts with us, Lord. Oh, Ramande Katabosad. Oh, Lord, we need you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we repent, Lord, for the omissions and the commissions of our sins, God. We can do nothing without you, Lord. Lord, we humble ourselves, God. We look to you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we forever give your name all the glory, Lord. All the praise, Lord. Wash us with your blood, Lord. Wash us with your blood, Lord Jesus. Make us to know truth in our inward parts, God. Sanctify us through thy truth, for your word is truth, Lord God. Your word is truth. And help us, Lord, to speak the truth in love. That we don't be harsh with it, nasty with it, using it to tear people down, Lord, using it, the truth, to embarrass people, but that we speak the truth in love, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that there's some people right now that's listening right now. You got some finances tied up in the court system. You've been waiting. It's been tied up. God is loosening it right now. God is loosening it right now. Oh, you're going to receive some good news. You're going to hear some good news. Oh, God is loosening it right now. And some of you that are listening on the sound of my voice right now, be expecting some unexpected money, some unexpected resources coming in. Oh, Rahman Daka. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You ought to rejoice right there. Begin to thank God for it right now. Thank him in advance for it. Thank him for doing it right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, saints of God, I don't want to delay the time no longer. I just want to get right into the Word of God. I thank God for my wife, Prophetess Angel Flowers. And again, we bring you greetings from Repair the Breach International Ministries. We're in Chicago here, in Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. Amen. We thank God again for you. I just cannot stress it enough. Thank God for the people of God. It's an honor and a privilege to bring you the Word of God and to encourage you, the people of God, and help push you. Amen. That's what the apostolic God apostles do. They push the people of God. They get them stirred. They get them activated. They get them moving in their calling. They get them moving in the things of God. Hallelujah. We're all about getting you going in the things of God. That's what God has called us to do. Amen. To get you activated, get you stirred up, to help sharpen the gifts of God on the inside of you, to help impart, to impart into you, to help, you know, to feed you, to teach you. Amen. The Word of God and help bring forth clarity and understanding through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God concerning your purpose and concerning your destiny, and, you know, help bring forth that confirmation that you've been looking for and that you need. And God, you know, like I say, definitely, you know, uses us again to help get you out of your comfort zone. We like to, you know, get you out of your comfort zone. I have no problem putting the people of God to work and everything, because, you know, time is short, amen, and Jesus, as we know, he can split the sky any day, amen, but we got to be prepared, we got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. But in the meantime, we got to be in the vineyard, amen, laboring, and the Word of God said, whatsoever right, amen, I would pay. God said, occupy the time until I come. So to occupy the time, he didn't say just occupy the time, just doing whatever, you know, going about saying, hey, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. No, it's about doing, being obedient unto the Lord, doing what he has called for you to do as a son, what he has called you to do as a daughter for such a time as this in the kingdom. You are on a mission. Remember, we are pilgrims, as the Word of God. So we're just passing through. This is not our home. We're not here to stay. We're not here to get comfortable. Yes, you might as well say this is a little bit of a vacation spot where we, you know, get a little bit rest. We're just passing through, get a little break, and then we get back to work again. Amen. Because we're on a mission, and we got somewhere to go. Amen. But God wants us to take as many as people, amen, as we can. Put it like this: lead as many as people as we can unto him. Get the word out to many as people as we can, unto them the good news of the gospel, so that no man can be without excuse. Did nobody tell me about Jesus Christ? Well, I didn't know anything about it, and so on. No man is not going to have an excuse concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word of God said that in the gospel shall be preached around the whole world. It shall be heard, and then, amen, Jesus will return. Once the gospel is heard, the whole earth, the whole world must hear the gospel. Amen. No one is going to be without excuse. Amen. So God is looking for you to do your part. God is looking for you to fulfill your part. You're that piece of the puzzle. You're that piece of the puzzle that God is going to use in these last days if you just allow him to do so and just yield yourself completely and totally unto him. Amen. Again, God has a mission. God has plans for you. Like, there are people out there that God has assigned to you to reach that can nobody else reach. I cannot reach them because God did not assign me to the people that he called to you, and that you can reach. See, God has assigned, you know, people for me to reach that I have to reach. Nobody else can reach these people but me because God had assigned them to me. God had called me to them. So God has placed an anointing on my life to reach these particular people that he's ordained for my life. So it's the same thing for you, woman of God. It's the same thing for you, man of God. This is not the time to get like Gideon and you know, and be afraid and begin to draw back. Well, I don't have the education, or I'm not ready. I'm not, I can't do this. You know, I'm too young, or it's, my time has passed. I'm too old. Or God is looking for somebody that's going to say yes. God's looking for willing vessels. Amen. But getting right to the Word of God, Genesis 37 and 17. Do you not know that the enemy is always conspiring against the people of God, God's elect, God's chosen ones, those that are called by God? The enemy is always trying to plot, always trying to plan, always trying to scheme, always trying to set up a trap, or a, you know, dig ditches and holes for the people of God. I don't. If any of you are familiar with Mary Kay Baxter, if you ever listened to her CD or her read her book on divine revelation. She wrote a book on divine revelation of hell, and she wrote a book on divine revelation of heaven, and she wrote some other books as well. But if you read the book Divine Revelation of Hell, she says in that book, she said that the Satan assigned imps, workers, unto the saints of God, unto the men of God, unto the women of God, unto the saints of God. And what they do, their assignment is to go and to take notes and to, you know, to follow you and to write everything down about you and concerning you. And then what they're doing is they're trying to find weakness, basically. They're trying to see how, what they can do to get you to fall. They're trying to see what they can do to find out what is your weak area so that they can come and bring that temptation to get you to fall. And she said that's what the enemy assigned these workers to do. And you know, the enemy, he want to be like God, so he, you know, trying to imitate God. And so just like God have angels that are assigned to us, angels that are watching us, angels that are writing as well concerning, you know, what we're doing. Angels that are taking note and everything. So the enemy is doing the same thing. Only thing about the enemy is doing it so he can try to get us to fall. See, that's what it is, because, again, he knows that his time is short, and he want to try to make a mockery of God and say, look at your creation. This is the creation that you created, and you love this creation because, you know, he's already been judged. He was judged from the beginning when he was kicked out of heaven. He can never be restored. He can never be forgiven. He's already been judged. He's already been sentenced, and his fate is the lake of fire. And so his assignment is to get as many as people that he can to deceive or to get them to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can end up in hell, in the lake of fire with him, because he don't want to go there alone with the angels, that the one-third of the angels that fell with him. And, you know, they're mad, they're upset, they, you know, they really don't want to do his bidding, but they have to because they followed him. So even though they do it grudgingly, they have to fulfill that which he tell them to do. And that's just messed up. So, but hell was never intended for us, people of God. It was never intended for us. But because of our rebellion, because of our disobedience, because of us rejecting the gospel of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, not receiving Jesus Christ, because we want to do it our way, because we're dealing with pride in our life, because you know we don't want to give up the life that we've been living. Let me tell you. I was brought up in the church, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I wasn't even taught that, because when I was brought up in the church, those, you know, family members, they were not good examples. They were out there. You know, they were living a double lifestyle. They were living double standard. And so basically I was going after what was before me. You know, what I was being mentored in. You know, I was looking at it as that's right. You know, this must be right because that's what I was being taught. So I was living a double standard, a double life. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ, but yet I was doing everything under the sun. And I thought because I believed in Jesus Christ or because I showed my face up every now and then in the church, that was going to get me into heaven. No, I was ready to bust hell wide open. The enemy was deceiving me. I was on a big deception that I was going to make it in. And boy, would that have been a shocker. But I thank God for his mercy and his grace that he spared me, that he spared my life, that he did not allow that to happen. And I thank God that when God called me at the age of 18, a supernatural, I like to call it my Damascus Road experience, supernatural, I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, like Saul did before he became Paul on Damascus Road. But the only thing is, the same thing like him, I could not see the Lord. I wasn't blind and blinded and knocked off my horse or anything. Well, you might as well say I was knocked off my horse of pride, because sometimes horse can represent pride. So I was knocked off my high horse. And so I had a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which radically changed my life. Amen. And from then on, I didn't start running for the Lord right away. I said, I'm gonna get into church. To make a long story short, I said, I am going to get into church. I shared what happened with some of my family members, with my mother, because my mother, she knew, she used to always tell me when I was a little boy growing up, she used to always tell me, your great-grandfather and your grandfather came to see you before he passed. Before your great-grandfather passed, you were 3 days old in your bassinet. You were 3 days old. And your great-grandfather looked down at you, and he began to prophesy. He looked at your hand and your feet and began to prophesy. And he said, that boy's going to be a preacher. Mark my word, that boy's going to be a preacher. Now, given the fact of my history, yes, I have some pastors, some evangelists, some ministers in my family line, but my great-grandfather, he didn't have one spiritual bone in his body. He wasn't in the church or anything like that, but God had prophesied the word of the Lord through him over my life. Amen, that I was right there. I was marked by God. Amen, that God, the hand of God had chosen me. I couldn't see that growing up. My grandmother tried to bring me up the best that she knew how in the church and everything, but as I got older, I just couldn't see it. And any time when I started to go astray, my mother used to always remind me, remember when you were young and God, your great-grandfather came to see you, but it was like I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that. But when I had that encounter, amen, when it was time for me to answer the call of God, amen, that was the best thing that could ever happen to me. Because if I would have rejected Jesus Christ, like I said, the Lord could have gave me over completely to the will of the enemy, and that would have been it for me. And the enemy, his mindset is to just wipe you out. If he can kill you, he will take you out just like that. If God was to lift his presence just for a second, amen, the enemy would go on a killing spree. Amen, like some of the people that say they'd be under so much stress and pressure from the post office used to hear about on the news a long time ago, many years ago, and they would just snap and they would come in and just start shooting up. And, everybody, that's what the enemy would do. That's how the enemy operates. That's what he would do if he can do that to you. And that's leading up to what I'm getting into on tonight. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get into everything on tonight, but I'm going to give you the gist of it, the meat of it on tonight. Go with me to Genesis 37, starting at the 17th verse. I want you to know that the enemy, again, is always conspiring against you, but yet it's a setup. God is setting you up. God wants you to know that he's setting you up. In Genesis 37 and 17, we're all familiar with the story of Joseph. I know many of you have heard in Sunday school or may have heard your pastor preach or minister about Joseph or, man of evangelist or teacher or someone of the fivefold. Amen. Have ministered on Joseph one way. I know you heard the story one way or another. For those of you that may have not heard the story of Joseph, amen, begin to just open up your ears on tonight and listen. Amen. This is going to bless you on tonight. In Genesis 37 and 17, it said, and the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. What did you hear me say on tonight, people of God? The enemy is conspiring against you. And this is what was taking place. This is what was going on with Joseph. Amen. They, his own brothers, his own blood, his own kin, they were conspiring against him to slay him. And I know you're wondering why. Why would they want to do that? Why do they want to do that to their own brother? Why did they get so upset to the point that a murdering spirit came on them that they wanted to kill their own flesh and blood, their own brother? Well, listen to this, verse 19. Here's the answer right here. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. You hear that? This dreamer cometh. Let me read a little bit more. Verse 20 says, come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. You hear that? The enemy is a vision killer. The enemy know that when you're marked by God and you're chosen by God and the prophetic word has been spoken over your life, many of you that I may be familiar with the prophetic ministry and familiar with the ministry of the prophet, and God has used the prophet to speak the word of the Lord over your life concerning your purpose, concerning your destiny, concerning the call upon your life. Know that the enemy is going to come after you. Know that the enemy is going to try to do whatever he can. Amen, to make you feel intimidated, to make you feel like you don't have what it takes, that you're not worthy, that, like I said, you don't have the education, you don't have enough Bible, as you say, knowledge to do the work of the Lord, or you haven't been in this thing long enough, or, the enemy will try to come with all kinds of excuses, all kinds of attacks up against you to keep you for moving forward in the things of God, try to put fear in your heart, make you afraid. And the enemy, that's what he do. He started attacking you while you're young. He think about it. If you were one as a child that constantly had nightmares. Nightmares just constantly, you know, you being tormented and having nightmarish dreams and stuff, because let me tell you, you were marked by God. That means God is going to use you in a great prophetic dimension and in a great way, and the enemy is trying to discourage that. The enemy is trying to stop it from when you were a child, when you were a youth. So I want to encourage those of you that have children. If your children come to you about nightmares and they're scared and so on and all that, the hand of God is upon their life, and the enemy is trying to discourage them. The enemy is trying to make them fearful and afraid. That's why I want to encourage you to teach them the word of God. If they don't, can't remember anything else to say, have them to say the blood of Jesus. I know that's what my wife and I, we teach our children. If you don't remember what we have taught you concerning the word, just remember to plead the blood of Jesus. Begin to say the blood of Jesus, and the enemy, the devil, must go. He must flee. But hear this. His Joseph's brothers, they were conspiring. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to murder him because he had a dream. What did I say here? A dream. They wanted to cast him into a pit. They wanted to say that a beast had devoured him. And then they say, hey, we shall see what will become of his dreams. Isn't it like the enemy? Now, let's see what become of your dreams now. You have naysayers. That you may have shared things, you know, that God has given you concerning, you know, your future, concerning a vision that God has given you. You had naysayers that came and said, "Ah, it's going to happen. You don't have the money. You're not qualified. You know, you don't dress the part. You don't look the part." I call them dream killers. The enemy is a dream killer. and trying to, you know, tear you down. Let me tell you, people of God, if the enemy was given one weapon to use against the people of God, think about it for a second. What do you think that weapon would be? If you only had one weapon to use against the people of God, what would that weapon be? Think about it. Okay, have you thought about it? That weapon would be discouragement. The weapon of discouragement. Many people have given up in ministry, threw in a towel, said forget it because they got discouraged. Many people have got discouraged because it seemed like things were getting worse and worse. They were praying, they were believing God, and it looked like God did not hear them and answer their prayer because it seemed like things, it seemed like it got worse and worse of the situation, or they were praying for a loved one, and it seemed like they got more and more rebellious, and then somehow they just got discouraged by it and just said forget it and just threw in the towel. See, the enemy can defeat. Think about it. When you read in the Word of God, those in the Word of God that almost wanted to give up, they got what? Discouraged. The disciples got discouraged when Jesus got crucified. What happened? They scattered, right? They went back to their profession, what they used to do. Peter went back to fishing, and then a lot of them went back to what they used to do. They got discouraged about it. But Jesus came to encourage them. When he showed himself, he told them that he was going to be resurrected, amen, and he was going to show himself unto them. They were going to see him again. Did not his word come to pass? So think about it, what God has showed you. Think about what was prophesied over your life that God said that he was going to do concerning you. Know that it looked like it's getting worse before it gets better. Know that you're doing damage and God is hearing you. God is moving concerning your prayer when it looks like the situation is getting worse and worse. God don't want you to let up because you're doing damage in the spirit. The enemy knows it. And so when it looks like it's getting worse and worse, what he's trying to do, he's trying to discourage you. He's trying to stop you from praying. But God wants you to keep even coming harder with more of prayer, with more intercession, with more warfare, because that thing is about to break. The enemy knows it. He knows it's about to break. So that's why it looked like no results is happening. Oh, yes, results is happening. So I want you to be encouraged, men of God. I want you to be encouraged, woman of God. Don't give up on your ministry. You've been faithful. Amen. I'm talking to you, pastor. You've been it's like you don't know what happened. It's like an attack happened to your ministry. It's like people have left your ministry. That's God. That's God. God is weeding out the bad because God's going to send you fruitful labors to your ministry. There's God at work in your house, in your ministry. So don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Amen. Hang on and hold on to what God has promised. God had spoken the word of the Lord over your life. God said that you were going to have a blessed ministry. God said that you're going to have a productive and fruitful ministry. God is going to bring his word to pass concerning you. God said he's going to send the harvest of souls. God said he's going to send the laborers that's going to help you with the vision of the house. Don't give up. Keep moving. But let me get back into the word of God here. And so here we have here, and Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands. See, God always got somebody standing in the gap praying. Amen. It said Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. See, they couldn't kill him because God had a plan for Joseph's life. Just as God has a plan for your life. As you heard me say earlier, enemy, many of you should not even be here this day. But because God had a plan for your life, the enemy cannot kill you. Some of you were looking at death's door, ready to cross over. Some of you have crossed over, but God said it was not time yet and sent you back over to this side because he had a work for you to do. He said it's not finished yet. The work that I've given you is not finished yet. You still have much more work to do. That which you went through is going to be a testimony for me, says God, is going to be unto my glory. That which you went through, that which you have suffered, God said, is for my glory. He said the suffering of this present life does not compare to the glory that shall be revealed. Amen. Through you. God's glory is about to get revealed through you, man of God. God's glory is about to get revealed through you, woman of God. Don't give up. Amen. God is doing something, even though the enemy is conspiring, but God is setting you up. He's setting you up. Hear me? He's setting you up. Let me give you the definition of conspire. It's to plan secretly to do something unlawful. Isn't that like the enemy? Always planning something secretly. Always, you know, want to do something unlawful, illegally if he can. Amen. You know, illegal. You know, if he can, isn't that not like the enemy and how he operates? See, the enemy is not going to come with, you know, firecrackers and fireworks and, you know, just a big noise. Hey, I'm about to do this. I'm about to do that. No, he comes crafty. He comes subtle. He comes sneaky. That's how he operates. He try to sneak up on you. Now let's go back to Genesis so you can have a better understanding here concerning Joseph. In Genesis 37, let's go back to the third verse. Go back with me to the third verse and see why his brothers hated him. And why there was, you know, just such, why they wanted to murder him, why they wanted to kill him. In Genesis 37:3, it said, and now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Uh-oh. There we go right there. That sounds like favoritism to me. Because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And I believe that this was God doing this, because God was working right here. You know, you'll see what's about to take place right here. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. You hear that? They could not speak peaceably. So basically, always have something negative to say. Now, isn't that like the enemy of using somebody always have something negative to say, and people of God not careful use those, even in the church, to say something negative and you know, be having us devouring one another and speaking ill of one another. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. We're supposed to be praying for one another. We're supposed to be, if our brother's overtaken in a fault, we that are spiritual, we're supposed to restore them with the spirit of meekness, because we can be overtaken in that very same thing. We're one step from falling. We may not fall in that way that they fall in, but it could be in another area. Oh, you know, I would never do nothing like that. But you may be cheating on your taxes. So what do you think that is? That's just ridiculous. You know, so that's why we got to be careful, people of God. That's why we got to be careful about, you know, we can't be sitting up judging one another either. Oh, that place is for God. Amen. I know the word of God said things we spiritually discern, spiritually judge. Yes, we do that by the word of God and by the spirit of God, but not to the point where we're fault-finding, being like an accuser of the brethren and tearing down one another, and especially as prophetic people, sometimes we can be so spiritual in not having love with the gift, and God can show us something concerning a brother or sister or a man of God or a woman of God. We can see what the enemy is trying to do with them. Instead of us praying for them, instead of us, you know, encouraging them and lifting them up in prayer that this does not come to pass or that this does not happen, we'd be sitting back in the cut waiting for this to come to pass. And then when it happened, we'd be like, oh, see, the Lord showed me. We're going around gossiping. The Lord showed me that they were going to do that. The Lord showed me that that was going to happen and so on and everything, instead of us praying for them and interceding. What's the purpose of us having one another in the body? And what's the purpose? Amen. If we cannot come together as one, amen, that's the whole purpose of the enemy coming up against us, trying to keep us divided and not having unity in the body of Christ, because what it's doing is diluting, is causing the power of God to be weak. And we cannot move effectively as God wants us to move, because while we're divided, we're devouring one another, we're backbiting, we're being talebearers, we're doing everything that the Word of God said for us not to do. Amen. Especially with one another in the body of Christ. But let me get back here into the Word of God. So this is what his brother was doing. They couldn't stand, and they couldn't stand their brother. Jealousy hit them and everything. And that's what happened. When God's favor rests upon you, amen, God, that's what God loves to do. He loves to provoke those to jealousy. Amen. That's what God is doing. You got somebody, you being persecuted. You got people coming up against you, lying on you, scandalizing your name, talking about you, doing all manners of evil against you. God is bragging on you. Somebody ought to catch that one. You might as well wipe those tears off. You might as well, dust yourself off and get up and begin to rejoice and get out of your pity party, get out of your woe is me syndrome, and begin to rejoice, because God is bragging on you. God is talking about you. Amen. That means God is doing something with you. God is setting you up. And the enemy don't want you to see that. Even though it seems like things look dark and dim, but God got something in the making for you. God has already worked it out. God is bringing and moving you into a place, amen, that he has ordained for your life. God is moving you to the next, amen, phase in your life, the next phase in ministry, the next dimension in the spirit. Amen. God is about to move some of you into your wealthy place. It's a setup from God. The enemy is not going to allow you just to walk into the blessings of God, or just to walk into your purpose, just like that, just to do the will of God freely. No, he's not going to do it, you to do that without a fight. Yes, the enemy is going to come up against you in a fight. Amen. Praise God. Let me get back here into the Word of God. So here it is. We got his own brothers hating him mad because, and he hated him even the more when he began to share his dream. Number one, Joseph had this working against him. Amen. His father loved him. More than his brothers, and it seemed like favoritism. So that's one strike right there. Then number two, he had a dream, and he shared his dream. That was two strikes. Then he shared another dream, which was dealing with them bowing down to him and paying homage to him, obeyance to him in the Word of God. Let me read here in the Word of God. The people of God, you still with me here in Genesis here, and so I'm. Here, let's get right here. It said in verse 7, it said, "For behold, we were binding sheaves." This is Joseph telling the dream in the field. "And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeyance to my sheaves." And let me give you the definition of obeyance, which means to bow or homage. In Genesis, let's go to, let's skip down to the 23rd verse. Getting back. So now we see why they were upset, why they were mad, why they wanted to kill him. And then it says here, "And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him." Now it seemed like you seem like you're losing things. It seemed like it looked like everything, you lost your job. You lost your house, went into foreclosure. You were evicted from your place. Your vehicle got taken from you in repossession. It seemed like you've been walking with God, faithful. You've been serving him. All of a sudden, you're just losing everything. All of a sudden, you're being stripped of things. You're wondering what's going on. What's happening? What's going on here? God has greater for you. I want to encourage you. God is at work. God is preparing you. God is seasoning you. God is maturing you, because there's a greater work that God is preparing for you to do. God is about to move you into a place of influence. That's why these different things are happening to you. Jesus said, "A man's life does not consist of the abundance of that which he has." See, religion teach that godliness is gain. All that you gain, material stuff that you gain, is God's approval upon your life. I beg to differ. I ran into many men or women of God, or those I've seen on television, if they're wolves in sheep clothing, or what you call hirelings, and don't love the sheep, don't care nothing about the people of God, all they all in it for what they can get for themselves, fleecing the sheep, what they can get for themselves, don't care nothing about the souls of men, the people of God, or anything like that, have all these things, and and God is nowhere to be found with them. They don't have those. They're full of dead man's bones. The Spirit of God is not even with them. They're gaining the whole world, but yet their soul is lost. The Word of God says, see, you have those that judge you based off of what you have. Well, because you don't have the big house or driving this type of car, you don't have this type of bank account or wear these dress a certain way, you know, wear these type of clothes and so on and everything, you know, God is not with you. That's being religious and self-righteous. Yes, God can bless us to have those things, but he don't want those things to have us. All those have is proper place. God wants us to have balance in our life. God wants us to have him and not those things to have us. You hear me, people of God? God wants to, that's what God is doing. God is breaking down our mindset, our way of thinking, that no longer we will be selfish or self-centered when he blesses us and not thinking on the things of others. And not be looking down on people. And I know some people may be getting upset right now. How dare you? I'm speaking something where, you know, I lived. Amen. I'm speaking something that I used to do. So I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about myself. Yes. I was one that was self righteous. I was one was basing my life because what I was taught. Amen. By sitting under a particular ministry, amen, in time past, what I was taught, that all this stuff that I was gaining had a lot to do with God's approval on my life, in which it didn't. And then it caused me to be prideful, pumped up, arrogant, looking down on people, being self-righteous and saying God has blessed me, evidently the Lord is with me, because I wouldn't have these different things. I wouldn't have this nice job. I wouldn't have, this nice car and so on. I wouldn't be making this good money if God wasn't with me. I was dealing with a lot of pride, and the Lord had to strip me. I went through a season for 3 years where I lost everything. God stripped me of everything. There's a good stripping and there's a bad stripping. Now, I went through the bad stripping because I was not so good a servant of the Lord. God had to deal with my pride. So God had to strip me down to nothing. I mean, I lost everything. When you lose, what happened when you start losing everything, the first thing to go is resources. If you don't have resources, then you can't pay what? Your bills. It's only had what I lost my job and I wasn't even at work. So how could you lose a job and you not weren't even there? I was off sick from work. This was some years ago when God had to deal with me in my pride in the beginning, early 91, 92. And so I wasn't even at work. I was sick that day. And I get a phone call saying, did you know anything about this walk-off? Because they were planning on my job to do a walk-off, and I wasn't even there. And they told me not to come in to work. And then they're going to give me a call when to come in. And when I did come in and everything, they confronted me about it. I'm like, I didn't know anything about it, and so on. I wasn't even here, and so on and everything. But anyway, I lost my job, couldn't pay my bills. I only had a couple of more payments to go on a car. Amen, that I have financed and everything. Guess what? You don't have no money. You can't pay, you know, your bills, so I couldn't pay the car insurance. The insurance elapsed on the vehicle, and guess what? I was trying to run errands with the vehicle. And then the vehicle, you know, broke down on me and caught on fire while I was in the car, about to head back home. But the Lord had mercy upon me and allowed me to get up out of the vehicle. I got trapped in that vehicle, and the Lord could have required my soul that day, but he didn't. He had mercy upon me. So, but I thank God that he has spared my life. But to make a long story short, God had me to recognize my pride while I was walking in pride and arrogance. So now that, you know, now I know that when God blessed, amen, that you're supposed to walk in meekness and lowliness and humility, and you always got to be in a position where, you know, if you have it in your power to do so, as the Word of God said. Don't send your brother away hungry. Don't send your sister away hungry. You know that you have it in your power to be able to do so, to be able to, you know, to help. Don't say, oh, I'm going to pray for you now. I'm going to pray that God bless you, you know, that you'll be blessed with this thing, and you have it in your power to be able to help. How's that helping them? Amen. Praise God. Well, people of God, look like I'm not going to be able to get into this. I may have to just have to pick this up. This is my third Monday of the month. I'm on every first and third Monday. Amen. So hopefully, if the Lord's will, maybe God may have me to pick this back up again. This message about it's a setup, and the enemy's conspiring against you. But I want to encourage you on tonight. Those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, this is the opportunity. There's no sin too small or great that God will not forgive you. Don't let the enemy trick you up and speak to lies to your mind and tell you that God's not going to forgive you. The Word of God said that all you have to do is confess. Romans 10:9 said, just confess with your lips the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. So just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you just confessed that, if you just said that prayer, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. And Father, I pray right now that you will fill them with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with new tongues, Lord, a new language, God, a heavenly language, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even as the Word of God says, even though I may not be there with them physically, God, Lord, but I speak your word over their life, God, even as Paul did. Paul had laid hands upon them, Lord, as he led them unto the Lord and laid hands upon them, they were filled with the Spirit. And they spoke in tongues, and they did prophesy in the name of Jesus. But even though I'm not there physically right now, I just pray right now that you be filled with the Spirit, and then that you speak with new tongues, and that you begin to prophesy. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank God, amen, and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I just want to go ahead and open up the lines.
Glory to God, glory to God. This is Evangelist Hannah. And if you did call on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go to www.kingdombuilderplaza.org and let us know. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to send you a Bible or an MP3 copy of the Bible. Glory be to God. And again, as the Apostle said, the angels are rejoicing. And we are rejoicing also.
Amen.
And God get all the glory. And at this time, I'm opening up the line. If you have a comment or prayer request, you may come forth now. If you have noise in your background, mute out your phone. Glory be to God. Well, at this time, the line is open.
Yes, I have a prayer request.
Hello? Can you state your name,
yes,
and where you're calling from, please?
Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
Amen. Praise God.
Can you state your prayer request, please?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was calling for prayer for my home and my finance, my family. And I have enjoyed the service tonight over the airway as usual.
Amen. Praise God. Well, man of God, I want you to be encouraged. I just pray the prayer of agreement with you right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, according to Matthew 18:19, you said, we need to come together touching anything here on earth. It shall be done of the Father in heaven. And Lord, we thank you for doing it for my brother right now in the name of Jesus, moving concerning that which he is facing. Lord, he's not facing it alone, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you want him to put his trust completely in you and knowing that you're working and that you're moving behind the scenes and that you want him to rejoice and begin to praise you and begin to bless you. I come against discouragement. I come against disappointment. And, Lord, I thank you that you're working all things out and together for his good. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise, the glory, and the honor. Thank God, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, my brother.
Thank you, thank you. God bless you.
If you have noise in your background, can you please mute out your cell phone? Glory to God. Is there anyone else on the line that has a prayer request or a comment? Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, the mighty words that you brought forth tonight, Apostle, we appreciate you and your faithfulness. There is callers on the line. So, again, if there's anyone else on the line that has a prayer request or a testimony, you may come forth now or just a comment. Glory to God. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Kingdom Builders International also has intercessory prayer Monday to Saturday at 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And the number you can call is 218-895-0280. And put in the word pray, which is 7729 is the code. And again, the number is 218-895-0280. It's 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Central Time. So join in just to listen or come with your prayer request. Glory be to God. Glory to God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just cover the men of God in the blood of Jesus. Glory be to God. I banish the spirit of backlash or retaliation that may try to come forth from the word that he brought forth to your people tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are continuing to supply every need for the men of God and his family in the mighty name of Jesus and his ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for opening doors for the men of God in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that the angels of the Lord go before him and make every crooked place straight in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, God, that you will pour back to him, God, a double portion for what he pours out to teach your people tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We give you all the praises and honor and glory in Jesus' mighty name. I pray, amen, and glory be to God. Glory to God. Time, Apostle, do you have any closing remarks?
Well, I just thank God, again, for the opportunity to be on Kingdom Builders International and to minister to the people of God. It's always a blessing. I thank God for you guys and having me on as the regular speaker, amen, on the line. Like I said, it's a blessing. It blesses me. I get my blessing by blessing, amen, the people of God. And so I just thank God for that. But if you want to get in contact with me concerning service times or where we're located, you can area code 773-888-3356. That's area code 773-888-3356.
Glory to God, glory to God. And again, go tell someone about the broadcast. About 5 minutes after the broadcast is over, you can go into the archives and you can listen to the broadcast again or tell someone to go in and listen. Glory be to God. And Apostle Flowers is on every second and third Monday of the month at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Glory be to God. Continue to tune in. And glory to God. And everyone that has called in, every listener over the internet, we just thank God for you and for supporting the broadcast and Kingdom Builders International broadcasters. And we thank you again. And remember, God loves you, and Kingdom Builders love you also. And you have a blessed rest of the evening and good night. Mm-hmm.